All right. Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We started this precious book here a few weeks ago, and just want to try to go through it verse by verse as we do. I'd like to deal tonight with verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 1, verses 8 and 9. The scripture sets forth wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Let's pray together. Our Father, this evening we call upon your holy and blessed name, thanking you for this glorious privilege to meet together in the hearing of your gospel. Lord, teach us this evening. Forgive us wherein we failed you. Help us to worship for Christ's sake. Amen. Over the last few weeks, we considered the grace of God the Father toward his sheep in electing and adopting and accepting grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we've also considered the truth of God the Son in his redeeming grace, the laying down of his life for his sheep. We beheld that the actual cause of our reconciliation to God the Father is the substitutionary death of Christ. That's the basis, that's the heart, that's the reason that Almighty God accepts us. Our debt has been put away. The law has been honored. Christ has finished the work. Accepted in the Beloved. Now that's the truth concerning these spiritual blessings, verse 3, in heavenly places in Christ, in these heavenly things in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this evening I'd like for us to consider how the Lord has been pleased to not only teach us what he's done, but how he's been pleased to reveal it to us. That he's actually done something is set forth in verse 8. The scripture says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. That he has superabounded. That word abounded has superabounded in quantity and quality, is what he's saying. He has done something for us in absolute perfection and endless bounds. He's done it in all wisdom and prudence. He's done it with perfect insight, wisdom. And he's done it with perfect action, prudence. He has abounded toward us in superabounding quality and quantity. And he's done it with perfect wisdom, perfect insight, and action. Now, For just a minute, I want us to consider that glorious wisdom of Almighty God and the prudence by which He's exercised that wisdom toward us. What He's done, that He's actually superabounded toward His elect in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the point that I want us to consider. How that God can be just and justify a sinner. Now you think about this. Almighty God's going to deal with sin. No mere man can deal with sin. God's going to have to deal with sin. Almighty God's going to have to be just in dealing with sin. This is justice right here. The soul that sinneth is going to die. The soul that sinneth is going to die. Sin is going to be punished. Now you think about this insight. Think about this wisdom. Think about this prudence, the exercise of it. That God Himself, now here's wisdom. No man could think of this. How is God going to deal with sin? Almighty God must become a man. Now man sinned against God. And God's going to deal with man. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the surety, undertook, according to God's everlasting covenant of grace, He undertook, agreed to the call of, as the servant of Jehovah, the Son of God, was made flesh. Now that's wisdom. How is God going to be just and justify a sinner? Christ is going to have to come into this world. Consider this wisdom. Consider this insight. That Christ Himself, now again, when I've told you before, I need to hear it again too. When we say Christ, what we're saying is the anointed. That means God, man. When you say Christ, you're saying and setting forth the two natures of our mediator, of the Messiah, the deity and the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Himself has agreed and has acted upon in being made flesh to be the mediator between God Almighty and men. There's one mediator between God and men, and it's the man, Christ Jesus. Now here's wisdom. God Almighty is going to deal with a priest. He's going to deal with a priest. And the only priest that He's going to deal with is the priest of His providing. There's going to have to be one that can touch both parties, being both parties, God and man. And the Christ Himself, now here's the wisdom of God, that Christ Himself, the mediator, would be able, because of who He is, He could die under the judgment of God for His elect. He could die being a man. God cannot die, but a man can die. And here's the wisdom of God. God must alone atone for sin, cover it. Only God can put away sin. And now here in the wisdom of God, God Himself would put away the sin of His elect. God would put away the sin of His elect, but He's got to die to do it. And in the wisdom of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, made flesh, came into this world, the one who alone could satisfy God, God, the one who alone could die under the judgment of Almighty God and pay the debt of all that the Father had chosen in Him, that by one sacrifice for sin, one sacrifice for sin, this one mediator, this one Messiah, this one anointed one, could pay the debt for the entirety of God's elect, because He Himself bore all of their guilt. That Almighty God would make Him sin of all that the Father had chosen to save. That's wisdom. And prudence to be able to do it. That God Almighty make Him sin. And here's prudence and wisdom. That Almighty God could do this. And actually putting away the guilt of His people. In pouring out His wrath upon His Son, and thereby in no wise injuring His justice. That God could show mercy to sinners that He chose to show mercy to. It's what He said. He said, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on him who I'll have compassion. So then it's not him, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 9. It's not him that willeth. Not him that runneth. It's God that shows mercy. Now here's wisdom. How God Almighty could put away the guilt of His people in absolute justice. In pouring out His wrath on His Son, pouring out His wrath on His Son, and then show mercy to a sinner. Listen to this wisdom. That Almighty God will give His people a heart to believe. Give them a new heart. Call them out of darkness through the preaching of the gospel. Give them a heart to believe, and then robe them in the righteousness of His Son. I'm going to tell you something. This is higher. This is higher than we are. It's deeper than we can perceive. He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, to absolutely pardon their iniquities, because the law had been honored and sin had been put away, and then absolutely show them mercy in saving them. Now that's what He's done. That's what He's done. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And He did all of this according to His everlasting covenant of grace before you and I were ever born. But then He does something by grace and mercy. It's going to take Him alone to do it. And it's this. he would tell us about it. That he would tell us about it. Verse 9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. When we fell in Adam, we all mankind, it came forth from the loins of Adam, all mankind lost all ability to know God. And unless Almighty God gives a man a new heart, now this heart that we're born with, it's a carnal heart. It's a spiritually dead heart. And the carnal mind, the carnal heart, butts heads with God. It's enmity against God. And unless Almighty God gives a man, gives a woman a new heart, a new mind, a new will, a new spirit, a new love, nothing changes. Nothing's different. Unless Almighty God does something for a man, a woman, that they cannot do for themselves, nothing changes. All spiritual perception left. When Adam sinned against God, you know the first thing he knew? That he was naked. He knew that. I don't have a covering before God. And man born without a spiritual covering before God. But here's the sad thing. Man is born and doesn't know it. Man doesn't know that. Man is born and he thinks, you know, well, I may, you know, maybe sometimes, maybe I might do something every once in a while. Man has no idea that from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot, he is nothing but putrefying sores. That there's no good in him. There's none. There's none good. No, not one, Scripture says. We were all born children of wrath against God, even as others. But the Scripture says in Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Who are the us that the Apostle Paul is speaking of in Ephesians 2:4? Does that mean that God loves everybody? Well, before you answer, remember this. He said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And you look it up. And it means hated, Freddie. That's what it means. And we've tried to sidestep and talk around that and say, well, it meant this. It means exactly what God says it means. God is angry with the wicked, Scripture says, every day. Every day. And I'll tell you this, has a right to be. Has a right to be. Why? Because we're born rebels against God. Rebels. Paul is saying, Almighty God is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Who is he talking to? Well, we could go right back to verse 1 of Ephesians 1. Those that he chose in Christ. Those that Christ redeemed. Those that the Spirit of God surely going to call out of darkness. He has loved us And he loved us, Jeremiah says, before the foundation of the world. He loved us. He knew us, chose us, saw us. I told you that's what he told Jeremiah. Remember, he said, look, before I formed you in the belly, before I put you in your mama's womb, I knew you and ordained you a prophet. Jeremiah wasn't going to be anything other than a prophet. That's what you know why? Because God ordained it. And the counsel of the Lord, Mitch, is going to stand. It's going to stand. He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And then he'd been pleased to teach us that. To tell us that. And we needed it. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. We know God. All we know of God that we make up in our mind, he's little g God that we, you know, that we can dictate to what we do, what we're going to do. You know. But John 1:10 says he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. Didn't know him. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. And listen to this. Neither can, the word of ability or inability, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. They've got to be taught. They've got to be revealed. The Lord has been pleased to not leave everybody in spiritual darkness. Now that's exactly what the scriptures say. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. But let me ask you this. How does God make known unto us the mystery of his will? This glorious mystery of redemption that eternally was his purpose and will to bestow. How has God been pleased? Here we go right back, having abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Here's another, it's just a continuation of this. How has God been pleased to reveal it? Man's born not knowing it. Man's born ignorant. He's born spiritually blind and deaf. Man cannot know. But some do. Some are taught. Some do know. How has he been pleased to make known to poor, helpless creatures of the day this glorious mystery? That mystery that is solely bound up in his own will. How? One way. One way. And there's no other way. There is no other way. Romans 1:15 to 17. We've read this many times, but we're going to look at it one time more. And if the Lord wills, one time more. One way. This is how God makes known the mystery of his will. Romans 1:15 to 17. Paul says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. There's one way that Almighty God teaches His people, His elect, what He has superabounded toward them in doing for them in all wisdom and prudence is through the preaching of the gospel. The first thing that He does, according to that glorious gospel that Paul said, I'm not ashamed of. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Through the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the gospel. And when we preach the gospel, as I've said before, we talk about the 5 points of Calvinism. Now, John Calvin did not come up with this. John Calvin just wrote down these things that the Lord was pleased to show John Calvin. This is the gospel of Christ. When we preach the gospel, the first thing that the Spirit of God is pleased to do is He's pleased to teach a man who he is. That he's a rebel against God. That he's a helpless sinner. A helpless rebel born dead in trespasses and sin. That's the first thing. When life is bestowed, that's what a man knows. I can't save myself. I am totally depraved. There's nothing about me that is able to respond to God in myself. When the gospel is preached, man is taught who he is. Secondly, when the gospel is preached, we're taught who God is. That He's sovereign. That He does as He will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. And nobody stays His hand. Nobody stops Him. Nobody has a right to question Him. He has set forth in this glorious book that we're looking at right now, Ephesians 1:4. Here's who God is. He's chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's who God is. The Father, that's who God is. He's not trying to do anything. He's God. He's God. And we know something when the gospel is preached about who the Lord Jesus Christ is. I'll tell you who He is. He is the one that has absolutely satisfied God the Father on the behalf of His people. Came into this world, made sin for them, lived for them, died for them, laid down His life. John 10:15, laid down His life for the sheep. We find out who the mediator is. When the gospel is preached, we find out that God Almighty is pleased by His Holy Spirit to irresistibly call them, gives them a new heart, calls them by power through the preaching of the gospel. The gospel is preached, we're thought that we're kept by the power of God through faith. Irresistible. Irresistible, preserving grace. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of that gospel. I love the gospel of God's free grace. I love the sovereignty of God. I love that God Almighty is God. So when Almighty God is pleased to teach one of His own something, the first thing He does is He regenerates them. That's what He does. Does it through the preaching of the gospel. John chapter 3. And verse 3, John 3:3, Lord is talking to a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee that didn't know anything. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot perceive the kingdom of God. You can't see it. What comes first? What comes first? Life or faith? Life. 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 If you say faith comes first, then that means that life was a result of your faith. Mm-mm. Except a man be born again. It's what the Lord says. You can't believe. What comes first? Life and a little baby or breathing? Life's got to be there. A dead child can't breathe. Almighty God, through the preaching of the gospel, regenerates His people. Gives them a new heart by power. Takes that, the preaching of the truth, and imparts life to them. And the same gospel by which He calls them out of darkness, He teaches them that which He has superabounded toward them in all wisdom and prudence. You want to know how we know what God's done for us? It's through the same message, Mitch, that God called you out of darkness with. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Man by nature said, I hear this thing of sovereign grace. I hear that sovereign grace. I hear that election and that's foolishness. That's what they say. The preaching of the cross, of what God Almighty did at Calvary, is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, an actual literal of that, but is but unto us which are being saved. And that's what we're doing. We're being saved right now. It is the power of God. So through the gospel, by which Almighty God was pleased to call us out of darkness, through that truth, the Scripture says not only does He call us out, but He also teaches us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Scripture says, for all Scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Blessed be His holy name. He's done something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves, buddy. I tell you what, you and I are not going to come up with a righteousness that'll stand before God, but God did. You and I can't put away sin, but He did. You and I can't satisfy God, but He did. He is superabounded. And listen to this. He's been pleased to allow some folks to meet together tonight and teach them something about it. He's been pleased to tell them one more time how He's put away their guilt, satisfied Himself, honored His law, how He was just and justified a sinner. Well, in closing, back in Ephesians chapter 1, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. He did not look down through time and see any good in us. As I've said before, you go back and read Psalm 14, 2 and 3. And tell me what God said He saw when He looked. He said He saw that. I'm not going to quote it. I'm going to read it. Psalm 14, 2 and 3. This is what God saw. I've heard men say, well, He looked down in time and saw who would choose Him, so He chose them. God Almighty never said that. Somebody made that up. That's not true. Psalm 14, 2 and 3 and 4. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men. How many of them? All of them. The children of men. To see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And here was the conclusion that God reveals. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. They're stinking. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? What did God see? He saw that there was none good, that none sought. But Almighty God has been pleased to make known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. He chose to teach us what He has eternally done for His people. Just as, back in verse 5, just as He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Listen to this. What was the reason for predestination? Why did God choose to show mercy to Pat McGinnis and predestinate you? Why? To be an adopted son. Why? His only reason. Because it was His good pleasure to do so. That's the only reason. Was any difference in one lump and another lump? Not an ounce of difference. The only difference between me and Hitler is the grace of God. That's the only difference. There's not an ounce of good in me, in my flesh. For the same reason that Almighty God was pleased to predestinate a people unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, the same reason for that was the same reason that He was pleased to teach them. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. It pleased Him to elect us. It pleased Him to have Christ redeem us. It pleased Him to call us out of darkness. It pleased Him to superabound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, and it pleased Him to teach us that. And according to His good pleasure, one of these days, He's going to call us to Himself, and we're going to see Him as He is, and we're going to know Him as we're known, and be like Him. Boy, I tell you what, that's deeper than I can grasp. But by faith, I believe that. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen.